You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 2nd, 2020, the White House tells us President Trump is continuing to do business while, quote, quarantine. The White House physician said, rest assured, I expect the president to continue carrying out his duties without disruption. But that's not stopping some from suddenly rushing forward to talk about secession. Well, when you come down to that point, Vice President Mike Pence and the second lady are coronavirus free. They're okay. And I also want to add that the results are in on Joe Biden and Dr. Jill Biden, and they also are free of coronavirus. But yeah, there are those rushing forward, not just with who would replace Trump and what order. It would be Pence, followed by Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi's also free of COVID-19, as we're told. And then you also have things like the New York Times. The New York Times immediately jumping out and suggesting Trump might not remain on the ballot, shouldn't be there. And one of their writers, Newsbusters managing editor, pointed out how the Newsbusters managing editor pointed out how the way the Times framed the story, he said they wrote, no big deal, just the New York Times openly wondering if Reid rooting for Trump should quit the election and concede to Joe Biden. Because again, the New York Times raised the question that maybe Trump should not be on it, might not be there. We're going to discuss in this hour the good and bad character of Americans coming out in the midst of this. And if you are among the bad character, I might put you in the same league as China. The Chinese state-run media is mocking Trump for coming down with COVID-19. They're basically laughing and having a good time. And I'm sorry to say that there are Americans with the same attitude. So in my opinion, they're in league with China. We'll get into that in the next segment. Regardless of how the president is feeling, this is not going to make him feel that much better. A federal judge directing that the Trump administration continue the 2020 census until October 31st. It's supposed to end, apparently, on October 3rd, 5th, I should say, the 5th, the Monday. That's what Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross wanted, 3 weeks earlier in the Census Bureau's plan. But now it appears it's going to continue through October 31 by this ruling. There was a CNBC Change Research poll that was released Thursday that showed the great majority of viewers will continue supporting their initial choice for president in November, despite the debate. Asked whether their vote had changed after the debate, only 2% said yes. 98% said no. And, of course, we have another debate coming up, October 16th in Miami. We'll see if Trump's going to be available at that point, if he's pushing the quarantine date at that point. The Trump campaign is already calling out one of those scheduled. A C-SPAN anchor, Steve Scully, who was interning for Biden as a student at one point, later a staff assistant for the late Senator Ted Kennedy, and at one point one of his tweets had resurfaced recently, a photo of him and Biden with, quote, gotta love the VP at the Biden Beach Bash 16. And he's going to be the moderator? You got to raise questions about that. Come on, how can you possibly not raise the question about it? And you talk about voter fraud, maybe things going wrong. A Philadelphia reporter documenting he walked right into the election warehouse yesterday reports that someone had stolen USB drives from their voting machine controls and facilities, machines at that facility. He said there were no security guards, no surveillance cameras, and I walked right in. Yeah, you think they can't be changing things behind the scenes. This word out, Louisville Attorney General Daniel Cameron releasing the anticipated recordings of the grand jury proceedings and the daily shooting of Breonna Taylor. Estimated to be 20 hours long. Now they're beginning to go through it and look for details. And a former Twitter CEO said, you want revolution in this country? You want to change this country? In his opinion, some capitalists are going to be, quote, the first. This is a former Twitter CEO stating that some capitalists are going to be the first to be shot in the revolution. Twitter says it's going to keep off such remarks like that, but no one apparently has shut down that Twitter account. But he's saying, just reminding you, we have a revolution. Capitalist, you'll be the first to be executed.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary. Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500. But my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I'm racing.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Very early this morning, the news came that the president and the first lady had tested positive for the virus. I pray for them all the time, including last night, so this was just a continuation of more prayers for their safety and their health and well-being. They will have the best of care, and that's a good thing.
That is Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, who is making it clear that she got the news early this morning. She said, I pray for the president and first lady and their health. That's really what we would expect and should expect from every American. I don't care what your political stripes are, but I do know there are those that hate Trump so much that they are looking at this as a great time of joy and celebration, possibly. As I said in our opening monologue today, this is a time to see American character. Good, as shown by Nancy Pelosi in that soundbite. And bad, as I will document for you shortly. Good and bad character. It was early this morning that the White House physician, Sean Conley, announced in a letter, or in a statement, I should say, the president has COVID-19 and that he and the first lady will be going into, quote, quarantine at that time. He is the official White House physician. Now, Donald Trump, with his age at 74 and his weight, is a possible issue for health concerns, but appears to have no other major complications around him at this point, at least none we've been told about. And Dr. Scott Atlas, who's a special advisor on coronavirus to President Trump, said he does expect the president and first lady to make a complete and full and rapid recovery. He said there's no reason, in fact, he said there's zero reason to panic. Now, Dr. Mark Siegel, who's a Fox analyst, has not documented the president's health, has not talked or visited him directly, but here's his assessment.
And he doesn't have lung disease, and he doesn't have underlying kidney disease, which is key, doesn't have high blood pressure. All of those bode well. The fact that he's over 70 means that everyone has to be very, very cautious about this, and of course that he's overweight. But I have to tell you, looking at it at the other end of the periscope, Ainsley, I've taken care of so many patients that are elderly where I see they have COVID antibodies, and I say, where'd that come from? They never even had symptoms. A vast majority of people still either have no symptoms or have very, very small, very minor symptoms. And I'm hoping that that will be true with the president and the first lady as well.
Now, also, of course, you have the whole question about how often Trump has basically exposed himself and or others with some of his mass rallies, even if they're outside. Chris Wallace pointed out since his diagnosis that the Trump campaign and the president and his staff all arrived at the debate the other night, all wearing masks, but then once it began, they took off their masks. And, of course, you saw on the debate stage Trump and Biden at a far distance and did not shake hands with each other, nor the moderator, and not one of them had a mask on stage. And I'll stress to you again, Joe Biden's report coming back today that he and Dr. Joe Biden are free of coronavirus at this point. But testing will continue, obviously. This whole piece about the mask, however, has Nancy Pelosi raising the question as to, is this going to be maybe a new impetus for the thought and concerns and endorsement for masks?
Hopefully, this will be a message to the rest of the country, though, that you have to wear your mask, you have to be tested, you have to, we have to have the funding for testing, tracing, treatment. We have to have people wearing masks, engaged in sanitation and social distancing. That is not what the White House was engaged in. Now, hopefully, they will send a different message to the country, or even if they don't, that will be a lesson learned by the rest of the country.
Well, of course, that's going to fall upon what you decide to do. Does this change your mind or opinion on masks? I wear them when I go into some places. If there's a statement on the door that to enter this business, you must have it. Well, if I'm going to go in there, it's their business. I will put one on. I was with someone recently who refused to put one on, and they walked right past the people at the door and said, they're not good for me. It just kept going. There are people that have been given medical cards or statements to that effect that the mask would compromise their health by wearing it. And don't forget, in the very beginning, Dr. Fauci said, no, the mask won't really do any good. We don't need them. But we still don't know at that point if it was because he thought we would run out of masks and we need them for the frontline healthcare workers or if he really believed in it. And then he did come back and say, masks are good. But then we're also told by the CDC the other day, just wearing a mask isn't going to be enough. And washing your hands routinely will not be enough because a virus might enter through the membrane in your eye. I mean, come on. The next thing through your ear. What are you going to do? You're going to have to make some decisions on your own. And that's been the issue for the American public. How many times are you going to mandate and dictate? And you guys don't seem to really know either. And the way it's been played in the media, especially mainstream media, as an attack weapon against Trump has alienated people that probably should be exercising more caution. I'll be the first to say that. Folks that should probably exercise caution, they're throwing caution to the wind because, well, that's what the mainstream media says, and I know they're going after Trump. You might be right about that, but I suggest you use discretion. But here came Don Lemon Fruitcake. I'll withdraw that remark for this time. Don Lemon, who sang on CNN last night, that this might be a moment of reckoning.
Is this now a moment of reckoning that, yes, this is real. It is not a hoax. It doesn't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. It is time to take this seriously and all the preventative measures that the scientists, the doctors like Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx have been touting for so long.
Okay, again, I think maybe some will be kind of reconsidering. Maybe, maybe not. But I also say this is a moment of reckoning for the character of America. the good and bad character. The Washington Post, early today, had the word first surfaced that the president and first lady were diagnosed with COVID. This was sent out 39 minutes after President Trump tweeted news of the diagnosis. So it came at 1:30 Eastern time this morning. 1:33 exactly. From the Washington Post. Opinion. Imagine what it would be like to never have to think about Trump again. Really? Really? The Washington Post. Opinion. Imagine what it would be like to never have to think about Trump again. And then added, it's within reach. We can vote him out of office and out of our minds. It quickly came down. But we do have those on the left in mainstream media that have also bordered along that line. But then we got some that are flat out not withholding whatsoever. For instance, a U.S. Congresswoman. U.S. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, Democrat of Michigan. And, of course, this is just days after Trump, during his first presidential debate, did mock Democrat nominee Joe Biden for wearing a mask constantly. But here came Tlaib's remarks. He still won't wear a mask. He only cares about himself and his life, not those around him or the people he took an oath to protect. Too many lives lost because of his deadly lies. Where did he lie? Let me tell you, that's a rabbit hole to go down because folks have created some that are all over. It's like walking through a minefield. I mean, they were still putting out the other day that Trump said inject bleach. Not once did he say inject bleach. And yet that's what I've seen on some of the mainstream media. And as I said, we're talking about character, good and bad. Michael Moore, Hollywood elite, coming out saying, I think Trump might just be faking it, looking for sympathy. And also an actor in the TV series The Wire and The Affair was on a UK television show today. And he was asked for his response about President Trump testing positive. And Dominic West said, well, I did slightly leap in the air with joy. Then added, he said it is what it is. I think the phrase is, what goes around comes around. I just hope it doesn't interfere with him being elected out of office. That's all. I'm not a fan of his, as you can probably tell. Yeah, you needed to add that last little remark, didn't you? But there are critics of Trump. Oh, by the way, before I get to that, those on that side, you can count yourself in league with the Chinese state-run media. The Chinese state-run media is also mocking Trump for testing positive, saying the president and first lady paid the price for a gamble to play down COVID-19. It will impose a negative impact on the image of Trump and the U.S. This is coming from Beijing, the country of China where Wuhan is and where the virus was first documented, and how China misled the world and the World Health Organization as to how bad it was. So those who want to be a bad character, count yourself in league with the Chinese media. But let me give you some of the other side, and this deserves praise. In fact, my guest in the last hour, Fred Flights, director for the Center for Security Council, said, I've never tweeted something from Rachel Maddow before that I was glad to praise. He said, but I did. He tweeted out what Rachel had tweeted this morning. The MSNBC host, Rachel Maddow, stated, God bless the president and the first lady. If you pray, please pray for their speedy and complete recovery. This virus is horrific, merciless. No one would wish its wrath on anyone. That's from Rachel Maddow. Also, actress Alyssa Milano, obviously fiercely critic of Trump and his nomination of Brett Kavanaugh and others. She tweeted, "I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy." Civil rights leader, and those are, of course, two names that often are attacking him. Civil rights leader Reverend Jesse Jackson also weighing in, saying, "We sincerely pray the President and First Lady do not have the worst of this disease." Former CNN host Piers Morgan, who had penned a scathing article on how Trump was handling the pandemic earlier this year, also went to social media offering up thoughts and prayers for the President and First Lady's recovery. And Morgan, Piers Morgan, said, "Anyone on social media celebrating the news that Trump's positive COVID-19 test, you're no better than the man you loathe." Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Democrat of Michigan, who'd been facing a lot of flack on how she's cracked down and locked down her state, she said, "I wish the President and First Lady a speedy recovery." Governor Cuomo, "My thoughts are with President Trump and the First Lady." Vice President Pence, former Vice President Biden, has said the same. It is a test of character, good and bad. I think most of you fall in the good character, even if you oppose Trump, that you accept this for what it is and pray for a speedy recovery. In the meantime, what are we going to do to help the economy and those who are out of work? You're going to hear from a Democrat congressman coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me just say this. I don't give a damn if the president's name is on it or not. Okay, let's stop with the partisan bickering and let's stop just worried about the next election. There's no secret that there are some people in my party that are secretly and surreptitiously saying, oh, let's not do any deal whatsoever because we don't want the president to get credit for anything. That is wrong. That is as wrong as it gets.
The words of Congressman Max Rose, Democrat, New York, talking about some of his colleagues who say, we don't want to sign anything that will make this president look better and help the economy. And his words, that is wrong as it could get. And he's very incensed, as he said, I don't give a D that if the president's name is on the ballot, on the bill. I don't care. Let's get it done. Well, they've been going back and forth, and he is one of the members of the caucus compromise group. They've been trying to bring it all together. And he said, I think this, we should take a collective deep breath and say, well, look, they're still negotiating, and that's a good thing. Where do they stand at last check? Mnuchin representing, of course, the White House, Treasury Secretary, the White House proposal, $1.6 trillion bill package, coronavirus relief bill, $1.6 trillion. The Pelosi Democrat package, $2.2 trillion. Oh, he's saying, well, I can do the math. That's 0.6 trillion difference. No big deal. Well, 0.6 trillion and pretty big. The Mnuchin White House proposal, $250 billion for state and local aid. $250 billion. The Pelosi Democrat proposal, $436 billion. The White House proposal, $400 a week in additional job benefits. Pelosi, $600 a week in additional job benefits. So for the individual job benefits from $1,600 a month to $2,400 a month, that's big for those folks. Again, the congressman says, let's just get it done.
What we all have to say, Democrats and Republicans, is we have to reject two things. We have to reject blind, partisan messaging documents that we know are dead on arrival, and we have got to reject quote-unquote skinny bills that do not meet the scale of this public health and economic crisis that we're facing right now.
And it's getting worse. You know, we had had over the summer thousands laid off in the industry, the airline industry this last summer. Well, then Congress in March came up with a bill barring any airline industry workers being laid off until just the other day. In exchange for $25 billion in payroll protection grants, another $25 billion in government loans. That ended yesterday. And now we're looking at 30,000 to 50,000 airline employees being laid off. Again, Congressman Rose.
People are suffering right now. They don't know how they're going to put food on the table. Their jobs aren't there any longer. And they just want to be able to serve their family, their community, and their country. And we have to be there for them as members of Congress and as patriots, not as partisans.
The man speaks exactly what we all should be hearing and ringing his bell over and over again, saying, I agree with what he said. And this cut that's going to hit the airline industry, another 40, 50,000. Our airline industry is never going to be the same in this nation, not for a long time to come. We'll go to L.A. in the next segment, be joined by James Herson and his remarks, one, about President Trump coming down with COVID and reaction from Hollywood, plus and minus, good and bad. And also, California talking about slavery, reparations. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, we're always glad to have on board James Herson from Los Angeles, internationally known writer and author. And James, before we get into some, I got a lot of topics covered. It's been a while since we've been able to talk. I've got something I want to ask, and if you want to tell me to butt out, I'll do that. But one question to begin with. You there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, the second question. The second question is, we've been...
Well, that one was easy, and you don't have to butt out.
Okay. Second question is, we've been trying to get you for some time, but I've been told each time you've been tied up on some kind of recording project. Is this something you're at liberty to discuss or want to discuss at this point? What have you been doing?
Oh, yeah. No. I just always had this, you know, my background is I'm a musician. I worked with a lot of rhythm and blues groups, you know, like
Temptations.
The Impressions, Natalie Cole, the Temptations, and people like that.
Right.
And I, particularly the Temptations. So I've done a Christmas album, and I'm working on a kind of a patriotic project.
Oh, great.
Traditional patriotic songs that have been sort of bluesified, if
oh,
you will.
Well, all right. Well, when you get that complete, let me know, because I'd like to talk about it more and put it up there for consideration. Now, to the issues, we got a lot of issues on the plate, so I'm going to move rapidly.
Issues.
Yeah, we're going to move rapidly with your assistance. With your assistance, I stress. First of all, reaction to the president and the COVID-19 diagnosis.
Well, you know, the October surprise, I guess, is here.
Ah.
I'm very optimistic. First of all, I know people are saying, oh, the president, he's 74, he's kind of overweight, blah, blah, blah. The guy is a very healthy human being, and he's surrounded by the best medical care there is. And the general survival rate of COVID-19 being tested positive and with mild symptoms especially is like 97%. He has contact with physicians.
So you're not concerned one way or the other.
I think this is going to actually turn out to be similar to when Ronald Reagan was running. Ronald Reagan's approval numbers when there was an attempted assassination. And I also think we can see Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of England, came down with COVID. And when he was battling COVID, when he ultimately recovered, his approval numbers went through the roof.
All right,
I just want to say the election ramifications are very positive. Plus, it will offset the doomsday fear-mongering that the press has done about COVID, leading people to be so fearful that they cower in the corner thinking that if they test positive for this virus, they're going to die.
All right, now let me pick up on that, because I began today's program saying this is going to be a good test of American character, good and bad. And Nancy Pelosi, one of the first coming out saying, I pray for the president. Joe Biden and Dr. Jill say we send our prayers, Reverend Jesse. And from the left, Rachel Maddow saying, if you pray for the president. Alyssa Milano saying, pray for the president. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And then you have Michael Moore and his attitude. You're saying how it could affect the election. Michael Moore saying, the movie director, of course, leftist, saying that he could be faking it. It could just all be a ploy to get sympathy for the votes.
No, I was very gratified, and I was shocked, actually, by Rachel Maddow in particular, and I was gratified by the class that people have shown, especially with, the perception of COVID-19. But in Hollywood, on the social media, there's all kinds of classless idiots saying this is karma, you deserve it. I thought Chris Wallace was abysmal going on Fox today and using this as an opportunity to chastise the president about his mask wearing, which, Hope Hicks is the one who came down with COVID-19, and she was an avid mask wearer and a social distancer and everything else. And there's all kinds of people who have tested positive who do everything perfectly. And the president, of course, they were giving tests to anyone who met with the president. He's surrounded, as I said, by the best medical experts and the best medical care, and somehow he tested positive.
All right. Well,
for the first time now, I just want to mention this one thing. Sure. We hear medical professionals talking about virus load, and virus load is the amount of the COVID-19 virus. Sometimes people can have a very low virus load and a positive test. And so we're hearing positives lumped in one basket.
Yeah.
And they measure it as a positivity rate. And in my view, this is all part of the effort to scare everyone, lock them down, and push mail-in voting.
And to that extent, again, I think between the media, the left wants to put a lot of the blame for anything where folks don't understand how to take care of themselves and precautions on the White House. The White House, and I agree, that says many of the mainstream media have been overhyping it. Now, you mentioned Chris Wallace. We have not had a chance to get a review of the debate. I don't have time for that unless you give me one or two sentences. But I want to point out the second debate is scheduled October the 15th. Now, if there's going to be a 14-day quarantine, it's going to be pretty tough to meet that October 15th date in Miami if it's really going to be to that date. But more importantly, Steve Scully, a C-SPAN anchor who's been an intern for Biden and is even shown in a tweet with him in 16, got to love the VP, that he's going to serve as a moderator. When are they going to learn that would appreciate someone who's not biased being a moderator?
Yeah, who negotiates this? It certainly couldn't have been Donald Trump, the art of the deal. This is Republicans always settle for these biased, ridiculous moderators. And just we have to tie in. Moderators are supposed to be minimalist. They're supposed to be, as Chris Wallace promised, they're supposed to be invisible. That could be described as the Trump-Wallace debate with that other guy wandering around with an earpiece. And so I shudder to think. I would like to see a format more like the UFC with a minimalist referee, put him in a cage and let him go. Because Americans don't want to hear from the moderator. And Americans don't want them to be strict about answering questions. We want a free flow of ideas. We want to see spontaneity. We want to see some jousting. We want to see some challenges. And we want to get to know the candidates. The moderator, I mean, I'd love a moderatorless. Now, this is supposed to be a town hall setting.
Right, coming up.
So maybe there'll be some better questions.
Well, now, to that extent, I have moderated political, not a White House, a presidential debate. But, I mean, it's hard to hold control, be quite honest, even when they are sticking to their time schedule. But, I mean, what would you quickly suggest Wallace should have been doing during that time?
Shut up would be a really good example of what he should
can
do.
Can you be a little more candid? Can you be more candid for me?
Who knew that Chris Wallace was a hip-hopper? Who knew that? He could talk so fast when he said, excuse me, Mr. President, excuse me, Mr. President, excuse me, Mr. President. You could put it on a loop and make it into a hip-hop tune, and he wouldn't breathe. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Well, the other thing
and
with
who
the
was
moderator.
The first, by the way, who was the first one to interrupt? It was Biden. And what did Chris Wallace do?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Wallace gave him a pass when he said Antifa is just an idea, didn't press him at all.
Yep.
But
didn't bring up China.
Same.
Didn't issue China.
Then he
Korea.
Went on to the president, tried to press him with that idiotic question, when are you going to condemn white supremacy? He condemns it every month.
I know, and I couldn't believe when that surfaced again. I thought, you're just serving the water for them. But any time a moderator spends 20 to 30 seconds asking a question, it's not a question. It's a setup and a dialogue, monologue going with it.
No, exactly right. And look at the language he used. He asked the question. We've heard global warming. We've heard climate change. But all of a sudden, Chris Wallace wants a question about climate science because he wanted to portray President Trump as a, quote, science denier. And you're absolutely right. Those questions. And that topic was not on the agreed-upon list. So Chris Wallace violated the rules for his own agenda, and he's yelling at Trump, your campaign agreed to the rules. Then he goes on and violates the rules.
All right, I've got
this guy should be, by the way, he should be fired. What he did was the worst job of a moderator in the history of American politics. And instead, what Fox has done, they put him on every freaking show for the last 2 days to come out and pontificate. And Wallace feels free to guess because he sounds like Don Lemon.
Yeah, and to that extent, I mean, he's also trying to say, well, where I lost control of is when Trump immediately starts shifting the blame. Listen, I have another subject I've got to spend time with you on, we're coming down to less than a minute. Are you able to hold over on the break?
Yeah, okay.
You know, I mean, here's the issue, and you know what it is, and we cannot do it justice, and I'll only be able to take maybe 3 minutes or so from you the other side, but if you can hold over, the thing I've been promoting, and a lot of folks are raising questions about, is what we've seen as the governor signing off just yesterday, I think it was, or the other day, that your state is the first to adopt a law requiring a study of how it could begin to provide reparations to black residents and descendants of slaves. The state of California joined the Union in 1850 as a free state. Now, there's the setup for it. Folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to hear from James Herson, a lawyer, on top of being a very good political analyst and pundit. And, James, I appreciate you standing by. We'll make this break as short as we can, and we'll be right back for everyone. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, we're back with James Herson, New York Times bestselling author, international business attorney, and James in L.A., as I pointed out, the state of California and your governor just signed off on it, a reparations task force to begin to look at how to pay back for slavery. State of California joining the Union, 1850, free state, but did at that point allow those who had slaves to bring them in, and also would arrest escaped slaves in their state. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, when's the last time we heard a bunch of Democrats talking about reparations, talking about the issue of reparations? Well, it was during the primary debates for this presidential primary where they gave it to the facade cipher Joe Biden. Now, Newsom, came out with a whole series of bizarre executive orders, and this is just one of them.
This was brought up by Shirley Weber, one of your chair of your legislative black caucus that championed it.
Yeah, but the point is, what Newsom is doing has nothing whatsoever to do with the citizens of California, the residents of California. Has nothing to do with the benefit of the state whose priorities, as America already knows, with record homelessness in urban areas, with San Francisco and Los Angeles in critical zones, with crime on the upswing, with wildfires, many caused by arson, terrible forest management. So he has banned new gas cars in 15 years, when the world, according to the Democratic Party, is supposed to end in 10 years. And now he has set up, and he, by the way, also did an order saying that people who are in prison can switch prisons. All of a sudden, male prisoners, murderers, rapists, dangerous guys, can say, "I feel like a woman," and switch prisons. And that's already being legally challenged. What is this guy doing? He's setting himself up for the nominating process of the Democrat Party in 2024. He knows who votes in the primaries. It's the activist base, the nutty part of the Democrat Party. And he's pandering to them, laying down a record so that he can run for president. And that explains also, if you notice, that Newsom is one of these guys. Every time Donald Trump visits California, the president visits California, Newsom is so cordial.
Yeah.
And
to his face.
Compliments. But he has compliments for the president. Why does he do that? He almost seems to be building up the president, because Newsom wants Trump to win. Because Newsom feels that he has a better shot, and this is my speculation, of course, but I believe Newsom wants Trump to win, because if somehow Joe Biden wins, even if he were to give the reins to Kamala Harris, then whoever's the incumbent would have the leg up on getting the nomination. But if Trump wins, the Democratic Party will be an open primary, or somebody like Newsom can jump right in. And, of course, he has a very healthy ego.
Listen,
if you ever watch him,
I think he's
the very definition of narcissism. I would imagine, he's in love with himself.
Well, I have no doubt, as is Donald Trump. And you have to be an egomaniac to want to aspire to that office, or be a radio host, I'm sure. But listen, James, I appreciate your time. I do want to try to get you back on soon, because we've yet to have a chance to discuss the nomination for Supreme Court and other issues. But I also appreciate you giving us some additional time today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Larry. You have a blessed day.
You too, sir. We'll do it again. James Herson. Outstanding. I always enjoy having him on board. The biggest problem with James, I mean, I've still got five or six other subjects I could put in front of him, just never got a chance to. And not because I have to, because I can throw some of them out, because he's going to carry the show. I mean, I guess I should just say, here's the James Herson show and step aside. I mean, he's that good. He can do it. You know, he's in California. I have to ask him at some point. I don't really know where he was born, but I know he was a law professor at Trinity Law School at one point in San Antonio. I should ask him that sometime, because he reminds me of most Texans, and we pretty much have our own BS degree. Believe me, I have a BS degree, and I'm thinking James does too. I know how to use it on a consistent basis. But we'll do it again, and I'd like to get James back. If you have not had a chance to hear him reference Judge Barrett's nomination. But that was a very interesting point he raised, which I did not have in front of me, that he's saying that Newsom, the reason he plays that for the president, I kept saying, of course, when he's there and in his face, but he said he's looking to make a run down the road. I have no doubt about that, but how he's positioning it, that's very interesting. Well, listen, how about something really light and easy to go out on? I mean, here we are wrapping up the program. And remember, if you missed any of it or you want to share it, it's going to be up at Larry Connors USA Facebook as a podcast. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Quentin will have them both posted by probably 15 minutes from now, 20 minutes at the most. That's how good the guy is. But let's close out on something really nice and light and keep the president and first lady and others in your prayers throughout this weekend. So a guy shows up, this is from, I'm going to give Andrew either credit or blame. It's a thin line between credit and blame. But boots on the ground, Andrew in Chicago reported, got Social Security office, woman asked for a driver's license, verify his age. He forgot his wallet. She says, well, unbutton your shirt. The gray hair on your chest is proof. He got home and told his wife what happened. She said, should have dropped your pants. You might have gotten disability. I like it. Next week, Monday. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.